Heading over now to the UK to speak to Richard Fitzwilliams, our movie critic, film critic. Good afternoon, Richard. How are you?
I'm fine indeed. Greetings from, well, the awards season in full swing.
Well, we just had some entertainment news coming in, and I hadn't picked up on this today, but apparently it's a big possibility that the Oscars will not have a host now.
Well, that is absolutely bizarre, but I saw the interview between Ellen DeGeneres and Kevin Hart, where basically on behalf of the Academy, she was urging him to accept. He had stepped down after the revelation of homophobic tweets, which he'd been responsible for and for which he has apologized. But, I mean, clearly, show business is about improvisation. The Oscars has had a tough year. After all, it's intended to put a category of popular film in and had to withdraw that for further consultation. So I'm sure they can improvise.
If I remember rightly, and is Kevin Hart a black man?
Yes, indeed.
So that was probably the Oscars kind of saying, you know, because of it, you know, we go back 3 or 4 years ago and it was a massive issue that there was not many black people in.
The Oscar So White controversy, this was over 2 years when there wasn't a single person of color who actually won an award, and precious few, if any, who were nominated, as I seem to recall, practically none. The problem there was that certain films, Ava DuVernay's Selma, for example, David Yellowway wasn't nominated as Martin Luther King, and although the film was shortlisted, the facts were that it was felt that the breakdown of the Oscars, 77% white, 93% white, 77% male, and the average age was 63. But those aren't official statistics, but they were obtained by the LA Times about 4 years ago or 5 years ago. And since then, the Oscar membership has risen to 8,000, and that has included a large number of persons of color, also of various nationalities abroad. But the idea, and this is what is concerning the Oscars, they simply can't recapture the audience that they had at the time of Titanic. And they've slumped to 26 million for last year, which is for them very, very few. As a result, the hope is that by making the ceremony shorter, and possibly by changing categories, although it's quite unclear what is intended, this will help to redress the balance. I do wonder, because I love a long ceremony, and I do have to say, to be honest, those who are responsible for the technical awards, whose names we don't know, but nonetheless have them their seconds of fame, it's a great shame that that is going to be apparently reduced to a very, very short matter of seconds, I think. I don't know the exact way the ceremony is going to pan out, but this is certainly bizarre.
Yeah, and I suppose those that catch the headlines are always the best actor, best film, best supporting actors and so on. And like you say, these guys never really get a look in, so it would be a shame to lose that. But is it a possibility, you know, over the years we've had more and more award ceremonies come on over the last few decades, Golden Globes, and maybe it's watered down the importance of the Oscars a little bit?
Oh, but I don't think so, you know, because all the awards lead up to the Oscars. The BAFTAs changed 20 years ago so that they influenced the Oscars. Remember, they used to be after the Oscars and with television went on interminably, whereas now it's a completely different situation. No, there are, as you're right, far more awards, but then the Oscars is the biggest, the oldest, the most spectacular. Nothing can rival it. Equally, Globes, which, of course, surprised us, certainly in two categories on Sunday. The Globes has this wonderful situation. We've got 90 members of the Foreign Press Association in Hollywood who have this position since 1944. They've had a rather relaxed occasion, but the hosts, I thought Sandra Oh and Andy Samberg, did well enough. But there's no doubt at all that to choose Bohemian Rhapsody over A Star Is Born, with that absolutely stunning choice, and I think the wrong one, but Rami Malek, yes, absolutely, as Freddie Mercury. The film, I thought it was excellent, but I do feel that A Star Is Born is much better. And the other amazing choice was Glenn Close. Now, that's very interesting. She's had 45 years in show business and was deeply touched to win for a very good performance and, in my opinion, a second-rate film. The Wife, we discussed it quite a long time ago.
Yes.
The holes in the plot there, you could... rather shocked me, but I think she might win at the Oscars for, so to speak, a career best. But does the Oscars do this anymore? Because those of us who used to think, you know, that's an Oscar of a film that's going to score at the Oscars. Dunkirk was one such.
Yeah.
La La Land was another such. The facts are that frequently they don't, or don't as they used to, or certainly won't in the future as they used to. So would she get, so to speak, a bit of a sympathy vote? I mean, she's a first-class actress, but Lady Gaga's mesmeric in Star Is Born, we have to see which one wins at the BAFTAs, because it'll be Olivia Colman there.
Yeah, that's for sure. And it's interesting, because I'm looking at, we're going to talk about the BAFTAs in a moment, but looking also at the Golden Globes and the BAFTA nominations, there seems to be a lot of variety this year in there, you know, and maybe the scope is a little bit wider. So let's go on to the BAFTAs then, Richard, and the nominations were announced on Wednesday morning, I believe.
Yes, indeed, and I was there at BAFTA, and indeed, I thought a fascinating mix. I agree, by the way, your point about the scope being wider, because at the Globes we had three black-helmed films out of the top five of the best drama category. And also we had Black Panther and Crazy Rich Asians in the top five in both the drama and the musical or comedy categories. As far as the BAFTAs are concerned, a very good top five films, because we had The Favourite, of course, 12 nominations. But it doesn't mean the numbers of nominations. Press get very, very deceived on this. It doesn't mean it's going to win. It doesn't mean it's going to beat The Star Is Born. I have a feeling that it might, but I don't think it will at the Oscars. I'm sure of that. Roma, on the other hand, has tremendous potential at the Oscars, but a lot of people haven't yet recognized this. I mean, it's Alfonso Cuarón's remarkable film, which is going to win, I think, his BAFTA for Best Director and certainly Best Foreign Film. He's a favorite. He's already won three BAFTAs, two for Gravity and one for Pan's Labyrinth. And Black Klansman was another with Green Book. A very diverse selection for Best Film at the BAFTA nominations. Few persons of colour in the acting categories. But one thing I noticed, and I noticed this with the Globes as well, it's important to remember that just as Hamlet, when he talks to the players, he says that they have to hold a mirror up to nature, which is the purpose of theatre. So it is the purpose of film, and nature's diverse, and that's precisely what we should be seeing. And there are a very large number of gay characters played in the different films, which I'm delighted to note. Three in The Favourite, a mesmeric movie about Queen Anne and her lovers, and also extraordinary political situation at the time in the early 18th century in Britain. And also two in the Can You Ever Forgive Me, Richard E. Grant and Melissa McCarthy, and Mahershala Ali as a genius pianist in the early 60s who wants to break down segregation in the South in Green Book, which is a very fine film. So there are a series of themes. Also, as it's been pointed out, three extremely strong in various ways and weak in others, certainly the Queen, in The Favourite, but a lack of women directors at the BAFTAs, which has been remarked on. Lynn Ramsey's remarkable Wish You Were Here had an extraordinary performance by Joaquin Phoenix, but very sadly You Were Never Really Here, didn't make it for the best director. But a very interesting set of nominations, because there's outstanding British film, and the series there, I think Bohemian Rhapsody will win there.
Well, I've got a technical question on this. For the outstanding British film, is it possible that that film could also be in the best film category, or is that because they don't overlap on this? I noticed.
They don't overlap. It's just one of these things, yeah. As far as I can see, that the favourite, I think, will probably win Best Film, but it could be A Star Is Born.
So what I'm asking then, really, sorry, Richard, is can a British film win the Best Film, or is that a separate category?
A British film will and can win the Best Film, but what the outstanding British film, and also there is a category outstanding debut by a British writer, director or producer. This is a link to the early days of BAFTA in the first 20 years when there were only British films in competition, and the idea that basically the BAFTAs were there to promote British talent. Now the aim of the ceremony is undoubtedly to influence Hollywood. To what extent America is aware of the BAFTAs is another issue.
Yeah, they do tend to have quite a good turnout every year, don't they, of American stars coming over and so on. But it seems to grow a little bit each year, the BAFTAs.
Oh, it has. Yeah. There's no doubt. I think it's tremendously important. And I also think with Joanna Lumley as host, following Stephen Fry's remarkable turns, absolutely, I think it's tremendously significant, especially since the Globes have got so many categories. So, you know, one of them is very likely to win at the Oscars, though by no means always. On the other hand, the BAFTAs do narrow it down, and you get awards buzz. That all helps.
Also, I mean, the fact that, you know, Britain does have such an influence now on the movie industry generally, and also our actors, you know, a lot of the, like, you know, like Olivia Colman's and so many others that are involved with American television and American movies, we have got an influence there now. It's worth, you know, we can't be ignored.
Absolutely. And Olivia Colman also, interesting, she's won 3 BAFTAs for television. Yes, and in America, certainly, there is no doubt at all that there's also the influence of Netflix. Romeo is a Netflix movie. I mean, this is a detailed topic, but it's very interesting to see the power of streaming.
It certainly is, and it's just going to grow and grow, I think, that's for sure. Disney.
Oh, it is, and also, I must briefly mention, we've got the best supporting actor with the where we're going with the BAFTAs. Looks like Richard E. Grant, can you ever forgive me, playing a gay bohemian against Adam Driver, against I would say Mahershala Ali for Green Book, playing the pianist I mentioned. It'd be fascinating there. There's no favourite in Best Supporting Actress. I mean, it's quite an extraordinary series of top roles, 2 of them from the favourite. Facts are, it's going to be riveting. It will be very exciting on the night.
I don't know about you, Richard, but I think, if anything, it's more unpredictable now than it's ever been. The Golden Globes do, you know, maybe guide us a little bit as to how the Oscars are going to go. Maybe the BAFTAs guide a little bit, but you just don't know, really.
You don't know. And in fact, BAFTAs, yes, half the last 17 years or so, nearly half, I think they've been similar to the Oscars. So that leaves the other half. You know, you really don't know. And again, as I mentioned, you've got an extra 2,500 people, voters, at the Oscars over the last 3 or so plus years, and that may mean a totally different sort of movie would tend to win at the Oscars, the one that could have won, say, 10, 20 years ago.
Well, it's great, great time, and it's always interesting. Now, we better move on time-wise. Colette, we look at today.
Oh, we do. We look at a film that I thought had a lot of charm. Now, when it comes to Keira Knightley playing the legendary French writer, the facts are, yes, could there have been a different actress, of course. Could there have been a better actress, one with more depth and power? The answer is yes. But nonetheless, I am inclined to feel that this rather, it's a beautiful film in many ways. It's set during the Belle Epoque in Paris. It's got a very captivating, enchanting and colourful backdrop, the sets, the costumes and so on. And the French society was a pretty ruthless patriarchy in those days, a woman, as it were, an appendage to be exploited. And originally, Colette's husband, known as Willie, he was Henry Gautier Willars, meets her, she's a country girl, pretty penniless. Well, he has unquestionably a talent to know how to use the talents of others and how to titillate the public. What he does is to pretend to have written her semi-autobiographical novels about Claudine. This is a literary character who becomes a household name in France for her, well, shall we say, unusual goings-on. The facts are that she is forced to have her work ghosted. Her husband, it's a remarkable performance, I have to say, by Dominic West. He's playing a charismatic fraud, and Willie is, in fact, an appalling character, dissolute, philandering, constantly on the verge of bankruptcy. But how can she free herself from him? How also, since he permits her to indulge in lesbian relationships, can she develop her literary talent? And also, of course, she is someone who, and the real one was too, scandalized society very frequently, especially with sapphic behavior in public on stage. The real Colette was a truly, truly remarkable woman. Now, how does Keira Knightley cope? I thought she conveyed a sensitivity and an elegance and a passion that certainly wasn't there with when she played the Duchess of Devonshire, or in The Duchess, and certainly wasn't there when she played Anna Karenina. She does, in my view, have limitations as an actress, but I thought that she was seductive and captivating, and I liked her.
Okay, and yeah, I remember I liked her in Atonement as well, more so than the Pirates of the Caribbean, but there we go. Ratings out of five then, Richard?
Well, I'll go to 3.5, because although a little prettified, directed by Wash Westmoreland, it is gorgeous to look at, and how a young country girl found a niche in the artistic circles of Paris, both broke the social and sexual taboos and became a literary legend whilst freeing herself from the grip of her husband, who was so appalling. It's quite a story, and I liked Keira Knightley in the role. I'm not saying it couldn't have been better done. I think it could, but I did enjoy it.
Oh, right. Lovely, because she's a big fan of yours. Right, moving on to... if anybody's watched... my wife likes this programme, and I've watched a few of those, called This Is Us on Amazon Prime. It's a TV series, very well made. Now, from the same makers, apparently, this is called Life Itself.
Life Itself is a curious film. It has a very challenging structure because it has a series of plots, and they all, though in different countries are involved, they all revolve around one particular incident, an accident in a street. Now, this is a movie that's been panned pretty well universally. We are subjected, if you don't like it, and I must say I took a more amiable view than other reviewers, I did find quite a lot to admire in it, because it's got a top-rate cast. Annette Bening is a therapist, Antonio Banderas is a landowner, and so on. It is a curious movie because it does preach at you, and it is pretentious. The end, fatefully, it spells out its message in a form of a lecture. But the way a whole variety of characters, and, I mean, the plot is so convoluted that it would take rather long to go into.
Yeah.
But it turns out a character is knocked down in a street in New York. Now, who is in the bus? How this happens, who met her just before, and how the various characters are intertwined with a rather moving or an interesting, I thought, story in Spain, and also linked to various illnesses, various romances, quite literally life itself. But as I say, if you're taking on a theme like that with a title like that, you are making and putting the film up to be considered a bit pretentious if it doesn't come off. And with all these various plots and subplots, all these different stories intertwined with each other, whereas I got quite a lot out of it, the Spanish story most particularly, where a man who owns land, hating his own father, brings in an individual whose wife he falls for, rather... the way it's handled is intriguing, it's unusual, there's no question that it's not everyone's cup of tea, and I do have to warn listeners that it has currently 11% on Rotten Tomatoes. I do have to say it's rather unkind, because there is quite a lot to enjoy. Annette Bening's Therapist, Antonio Banderas, Laia Costa as Isabel, who Banderas' character Vincent falls in love with. She's the wife of his overseer, and what happened, their son Rodrigo too. I found more to enjoy in it than others have.
It sounds a little bit like Love Actually, jumping around.
Yes, except Love Actually has, of course, become a cult movie, as you know, whereas this has become somewhat of a pariah, and a little unkindly, I thought.
It sounds very similar to the TV series as well, the way it's written and put brought across. This Is Us, which is on Amazon as well. This is an Amazon film, isn't it, I think?
I didn't know that it was Amazon,
Amazon Studios, so I'm not sure how it's going to be released and all that, but anyway.
The answer to that is, I think it will be released rather quickly and in not many cinemas.
No fuss made.
I really don't want to be too uncharitable, because what we have here is, there are a series of parts of this film that I thought rather touching, and other parts were rather intriguing.
Yeah.
And I thought there were good performances in it from a very fine cast, even though, as I say, it is flawed. That is fact. Oscar Isaac is involved as well, a very fine actor.
Well, I'm going to go for 2.5 or 3. What are you going to say?
I'm going to be a little bit contrary and give it 3.5, if only because others have been putting it mildly less charitable.
Richard Fitzwilliams is readdressing the balance. Right. What are we going to look at next week, Richard?
Oh, and next week we've got Mary, Queen of Scots, with Saoirse Ronan and Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
And also we've got Stan and Ollie.
Lovely. Look forward to that then. If anybody wants to find you online in the meantime, Richard, how can they do that?
The website is www.richardfitzwilliams.com, and on Twitter at @rfitzwilliams.
All right, thank you, Richard. I'll maybe watch that one over the weekend. That's great. And we'll speak again next week. There's Richard Fitzwilliams there, live from the UK, bringing us up to date on some of the latest movies and all the stuff that's happening in the world of movies, with the awards ceremony season in full swing right now.